Tawakkul comes from the root word wakala. Wakala means to
avoid. Today, I'd like to read to you an excerpt from
Allah is the unique Arabic name.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed. His decree, though, we learn.
This is Foresight, a program on how to worship Allah. Today's great tip: what are the secrets of the Salah and how can the Salah help us in our ubudiyah, our obedience, our servitude, and our worship to Allah? So, dear listeners, we are humbly talking about how the Salah, the Namaz, or the five daily prayers, the wajib obligatory prayers that we pray, how the Salah helps us in our ubudiyah, our servitude, our worship, and our obedience to Allah. Now, one of the things that we find is there is a verse in the Holy Quran, which of course is the very word of the Almighty Allah, where Allah says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, the Salah forbids lewdness, profanity, and vice. Now, based upon this Quranic text and this Quranic statement and this Quranic fundamental principle, we are going to discuss this issue about how the Salah helps us in our ubudiyah. Now, of course, when it comes to ubudiyah, the servitude, the worship, and the obedience to Allah, there are different factors and variables which come into play. Now, one of the things that weakens our ubudiyah, of course, is to commit sin. Now, these sins can be in different categories, but one such category that we find that sins are contained within, of course, is this idea of vice, lewdness, or profanity. And here the Holy Quran tells us that the Salah forbids these things. So right off the bat, we understand that when we do our daily prayers on time, of course, but the variables we will talk about later, but when we do our Salah, it should and it will forbid these kind of negative aspects and these negative morals and bad ethics. So the first way that the Salah helps us to increase our ubudiyah is because it forbids and prevents us from committing certain kinds of sins. Now, there is a caveat here that Salah, the more one pays attention and the more one has presence of heart, the more this Salah is powerful and the more it is of a strong elixir or a strong medicine. Because, of course, there might be some of us out there who say that, well, I pray five times a day, still I feel like that there are certain sins that I still commit in my daily life. Now, there's various ways to kind of dissect this question. The first one being that, well, perhaps the Salah, which is talked about in the verse of the Holy Quran, is a very powerful, high-level, spiritual form of the Salah, a complete form of the Salah. Meaning, if we do our daily prayers and we barely pay attention to what we are saying, we don't know what it means, we don't have presence of heart, we're not focusing on the Almighty Allah, we don't realize what the prayer is, we're just doing it to do it out of habit or custom, then of course that is one of the reasons why potentially it is not helping us to be able to prevent committing certain sins, including profanity and other kinds of vice. The second thing is that perhaps there are other factors that are involved. So, for example, if you want to be healthy, you exercise and you eat right and you sleep right and you take care of your body, you weigh yourself. Meaning, in order to accomplish one thing, which is this healthy body, you have to do these various different things. And so in our example, what we're saying is that if you want to keep your soul strong and protected and purified, and you want it to refrain from committing sins, then the salat is one of those things which will help you. But there are also other things that must be done along with this prayers and these five daily prayers in order to be able to completely prevent yourself from committing certain kinds of sins. And so this is how salah in this second aspect helps us to prevent ourselves from sinning. شربنا على فكري حبيبي مدامتا ساكرنا بها من قبل لأن يخلق الكرم IRIB English Radio.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
On the Day of Judgment, I'd rather be one of the people that's shaded because they spent their youth worshiping Allah. And like nowadays, I'm getting closer and I'm striving for it, but I wish I started when I was younger. So now I could, you know, have more background instead of starting now when I'm 17.
I'm at the age of 26 and while Alhamdulillah, I'm a Hafiz, but I still feel like I haven't accomplished as much as I should by this age compared to what others have accomplished. So. Inshallah, I'm taking steps to be able to financially support my family and pursue deen, and I'm taking those steps now. But I regret not having come far, so you know, that far.
This is easy for me. Not bowing down soon enough, not submitting to Allah soon enough. Too many years of not realizing that Allah is our creator. That's unfortunate. But I pray Allah forgive me for that.
I think most of my regrets are in the future. Like, for me, it's like I imagine myself as an old man thinking back on my life and asking whether or not I regret the things I'm doing now. And so, that's where regret lives for me. Regret lives in the heart of an 80-year-old man in the future. So, that guides me in a way, and it's sometimes scary in a way. And I guess what I worry he'll regret is that he lived a meaningless life.
As far as regrets, I understand that it's already written. And so there's a lot of things that I've done. I hit a referee in high school and I never got to play football again. And I was really good at football. But I understand that that's what Allah had planned for me because I was excellent at football. So to regret that would feel like I'm displeased with my Lord, what God had written for me. So I wouldn't call that a regret, though I could have been a star NFL player as passionate and as strong as I was in football. So now I coach young men to be disciplined, strong in football.
There's wisdom in everything that you do or don't do. And Allah, there's a teachable moment somewhere in that you've done, even like when like if you said something to a friend that you didn't want to say, or maybe you didn't, there was a beautiful sister that you wanted to go ask if she was single or something like that, and you didn't. You have to trust in Allah. Because really, if you don't have any trust with Allah, then who are we, a people of faith? Because there's always the reason why something happens to you, the reason why you don't do something. You have to trust where Allah is taking you or where He's not taking you. When I went to Northern California, I went to a school that I eventually failed out of, but I was introduced to Islam there. So it's like, Well, I wasted 4 years of my life, but I became Muslim from that experience. So it's like, I mean, now here, sitting here talking to you. And so, and my experiences of being a Muslim, like, just amazing. So, I mean, do I have regrets? Yeah, but I mean, with a longer, deeper view of things, you're like, oh, I see why that happened.
Ya Allah, ya Allah, ya Allah.
Ya Allah, ya Mannan, haqqiq
amani. IRIB English Radio.
Our website is parstoday.ir.
Ya Allah, ya Rahman, haqqiq amani. أجب دعائي يا رجائي بالرضا والخير أنر طريقي مع صديقي باحترام الغير يا الله يا رحمن حقق أمانينا
Welcome back to your listeners. Now, in continuation to what we were talking about, which was how the Salah forbids and prevents us from committing certain kinds of sins, and especially, for example, lewdness or profanity or vice or these kind of things. Now, we had said, of course, that there are different aspects that are involved here. You know, we said first and foremost, when it comes to our ubudiyah, our servitude, our worship, and our obedience to the Almighty Allah, well, first and foremost, the Salah, it forbids us from committing certain kinds of sins. And then after that, we said, well, perhaps some people might say that the Salah, for some reason, does not help me to prevent committing these kinds of sins. So we had broken it down into two different aspects. We said the first, that perhaps the Salah itself has some kind of flaw, or it is not in a perfected state in which it should be able to do the healing, the spiritual healing that it's supposed to and it's not. And the second thing was that perhaps we are doing other things which weigh down that salah from helping us to attain that spiritual healing, which helps us to not commit certain kinds of sins. Now, we kind of wanted to talk a little bit more about the second aspect in case it was still a little bit ambiguous, and perhaps it is a little bit ambiguous, and that is, well, so what do we mean when we're saying that we are doing the Salah, we are doing it on time, we are doing it with focus and with attention, we are doing it with a presence of heart, presence of mind, we are aware of what we are saying, we are aware of what we are doing, we are aware of the actions that we are committing, whether it is ruku, bowing, or whether it is sajda, prostration, or whether it's standing still in the presence of the Almighty Allah. So let's say we're doing all of those prerequisites which make our salah a very powerful spiritual remedy. But the second thing that we had talked about was this idea that perhaps we are doing something alongside this salah that is preventing this salah from being strong. We had given this interesting example about being healthy and the different things that we need to do. Now, so let's say we're doing all the things that we need to do when it comes to the salah and the five daily prayers, but at the same time we are lying, we are cheating, we are backbiting, we are gossiping, or God forbid, our income is haram, or the food that we eat is haram, or we are drinking wine and alcohol, or God forbid, we are looking at things which we are not supposed to be looking at, or we are listening to things which we are not supposed to be listening to, and things along these lines. So these other variables, you know, if you take the soul as a metaphor for a pigeon, right, or a bird, or the other way around, if you take the bird to be a metaphor for the soul, now the soul will fly with the salah, but these various different sins, they pull this bird down, they weigh down this bird so that it cannot fly. And so it is not necessarily, well, I think we can go ahead and safely say that surely the Holy Quran is correct when it says that the Salah forbids lewdness and profanity and vice. The problem is not in this statement of the Quran when we say ourselves that the Salah is not forbidding me from committing sins. The problem is with me. I am the one who is either not correctly performing the Salah or I am doing things alongside the Salah which is preventing that daily prayer from cleaning and purifying and spiritually healing every single one of us. And this is the relation and the beautiful relation from among the many beautiful relations of Salah with our ubudiyah, our servitude, our worship, and our obedience to Allah. Thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of Foresight. Don't forget to visit our website at parstoday.ir. Until another episode and another great tip, fi amanillah and God bless you all. One year.